The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Second hour live. We talked to Bruce Feldman earlier. Glad you're with us. And let's check in with Mark, who is up next in Oklahoma. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm a first-time caller. I've just been listening a little while since I heard that OU's coming to the SEC in some period. But I was calling about this guy, the legend, who's, when you said that you heard Queen in the background, and that's all I could think of, Queen legend, because he gets wound up a little bit. And I know he's an Alabama fan, and I think Nick Saban's one of the best coaches there ever was. And I'll say that even though I'm OU to the core, I bleed crimson, but he's got to get over Alabama losing, because it happens. It happens to everybody. And I get tickled listening to him. I think he's a good part of your show, but when you said Queen, it just made me laugh. I couldn't help it. But I wanted to talk a little bit about what you think about OU and Texas coming to the SEC and when it might happen.
Yeah, I couldn't be more excited. I think it's going to be a major paradigm shift, and I think the SEC will get a lot better and stronger with OU and Texas. Hitting the right date is going to be difficult. Early on, I was really optimistic, but there are so many complications right now, and the biggest ones are legal issues that the SEC does not want to walk into any litigation. And I think right now they're simply waiting it out. I think it could happen maybe in 2 years, but certainly not before that.
Yeah. Well, just to let you know, my wife went to school in Tennessee, and my father-in-law graduated from Auburn, so I've got a little SEC blood going through our house. But it's a little tough whenever you're playing SEC schools when you're an OU fan.
We can't wait for you guys to get in here. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Hal is up next. Good afternoon, Hal.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Can you stomach another phone call from a Kentucky fan?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I have a little different take on the subject. I think Kentucky fans need to calm down and take a deep breath. Calipari is not a great coach. He's a good coach. He's a decent human being. But state of Kentucky is a small state, small population with a very large problem. They have a 21-county area, the Appalachian Coalfields, that is just devastated by poverty, poor transportation, bad roads, poor schools, very high school dropout rate. And I think, Kentucky losing a ball game just isn't that big a deal. I'm more disappointed in Kentucky losing in 2015, but I will say, Calipari, and he gets knocked for these one-and-done players. I suspect some Kentucky fans have never known what it was like to go without a meal, or maybe live in a house without adequate heat. I was raised in the Appalachian coal fields. I worked as a coal miner, and in the 80s, the most money I ever made was $13 an hour working at the most dangerous job in the mining industry as a roof bolter, which is somebody who supported the unsupported roof. And if somebody had offered me a dollar more a month to work in an office, I would have been gone. So these people need to listen to some of these kids, look at the backgrounds. And, if you go into their house, you open a refrigerator, and there's only a bottle of ketchup or a jar of mustard there, and you resent them for turning pro, can you blame them? They can pull their family out of poverty and sign a couple of multi-million-dollar contracts, and they'll be taking care of their kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids. And that's a wonderful thing. And that part of Calipari is, I don't think it's been, he's been treated fairly over the one-and-done subject, and I would like for you to express your opinion.
Well, Hal, thank you for enlightening us a little bit more than maybe some of us were on Kentucky. I've always admired Calipari, the person, almost as much as the coach, because I think he is a good person and he has done so much good for that state. I don't ever begrudge any young person for leaving college and making the most out of their opportunity, because it's as you said, most of us never have a chance to make any kind of real money in comparison to an NBA player. So I think you have to grab it. Education is important. It's valuable. But if you go to the NBA, you can always come back. And many do, and set great examples for younger players than them. Thank you very much for the call. Let's check in with Richard, who is up next. Hello, Richard.
Richard, Paul, this is Richard in Huntsville, Alabama. How are you today?
Very well, Richard. Thank you.
Good. Paul, I just wanted to, if you'll allow me, change the subject for just a brief moment, and then I'll get off. I know today's we're talking about basketball, and sure. We always talk about football. I've got something I wanted to call in today, and this week particularly, because after Monday night, we're through with basketball, and we go on to other things. And I was wondering if it's possible for me to give you a topic that I would really like for you to consider on a future show. Sure. In the next couple of weeks. Is that possible?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm a big baseball fan, and once we get past basketball, I think all of your baseball fans will come out of the woodwork, and Major Leagues is starting next week. And you and I talked a year and a half ago, you had, I'm sorry, this is emotional for me. Let me get a hold of my emotions. A year and a half ago, you had an incredible show with a very special anonymous call-in. Do you remember that?
Keep going.
And I would just like to know to if you would consider getting him, you contact him and set him up to come on your show for 20 minutes and talk about some specific baseball things. I think he was an incredible guest. He called in anonymously. It's our friend up in St. Louis.
Oh my goodness, I do remember that now. Yes.
Yeah. And I was wondering if you could get a hold of him and get him on your show when baseball season
starts.
Yeah,
no, that was that brought back so many great
memories. I'll say his name if you want me to, or I won't.
Sure.
To keep
no,
it
go
as
ahead.
A surprise.
Go ahead. It's
we're talking about Jay Randolph.
Yeah, Jay. It was a little bit over a year ago. I'll never forget. Jay Randolph called in. He said he was waiting online, I think, to get his COVID shot, if I remember the call correctly.
Right.
And man, has a difference a year makes, right? So that would have made it probably the winter of 21. And all of a sudden, I recognized the voice, and I pushed. I don't know if I ever identified him at the time. I don't think we did. And for those who don't know, Jay Randolph, was a legendary Hall of Fame broadcaster, not only for the Cardinals, but for NBC Sports. He did a lot of golf. Somebody called me afterwards, his son or somebody. But I tell you what, that is a great idea. No, nobody better to talk about baseball than this guy. He has seen it all.
Well, I called you about 2 hours, about an hour and a half after he was on, and talked to you briefly. And then I followed up and I sent you a letter. I don't know if you ever got the letter, but I sent it to Charlotte, where you're at.
I don't think I did. But by the way, I mean, there was a I will say that between March of 20 and summer of 21, there was a lot of mail lost because of COVID.
Okay.
So I apologize for missing that.
Well, Paul, there's three things I'd like for you to discuss with him and get his take on it. And I think those of us listening, you get a ton of call-ins about this. I'd like to get Jay's take on the new MLB, Major League Baseball, CBL, the new contract, and what his take on it is. The other thing is I'd like to get his take on what he thinks about what happened really 2 years ago in baseball, where the major league owners literally came in and just took over minor league baseball.
Okay.
And what are the ramifications he thinks that's going on? We have a minor league team here in Huntsville, a new one.
Sure.
And I'm an old ex Houston Astro from 100 years ago. And I don't like what's happening in baseball at all. So if you could get him on,
Richard, that's a great
suggestion.
I would
love to hear his.
So what era did you play in?
I finished up college ball in 69 in Texas, and I signed with Houston in the 71, played 71, 72 in their farm system.
So were they the Astros then, or the Colt 45s? I can't remember.
Oh, no. The Astros began in 65.
Okay.
Colt 45s were 62, 3, and 4.
Okay. I just remember that name. It was such a great name.
Yeah.
Hey, Richard, thank you so much. We will do that. Great to have all of you with us here on a Monday afternoon. We'll talk to Mike Smith in a few minutes from the Sports Business Journal about our favorite topic, NIL.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
NIL is the gift that keeps on giving. It's always in the news, and something tells me that is not about to change. Another big story out today in the revered publication, the Sports Business Journal, about NIL, MAC and Pac-12 deals, and the man who is all over it, our friend Michael Smith from SBJ. Michael, thanks. Great to have you on. And I know you've been on this story for a long time, but it seems like every day something else is going on. Good afternoon, and tell us about the latest.
Paul, thanks for having me, my friends. Good to catch up with you. The story that we came out with today is about these collectives, and people have probably started to become more and more familiar with the collectives. They're the third-party businesses that facilitate NIL deals for the athletes. And so the latest that we're seeing from some of these collectives, like Auburn, for example, in the SEC, is that they're creating membership programs. So if you think about, like, you know, the old American Express saying, you know, membership has its privileges. That's what these collectives are trying to create through membership. And so, for example, at Auburn, you can spend $1,000 a month to become a member of the Auburn family at the highest level. And what that gets you is like 60 different experiences that you can choose from over the course of the year. And so it's a way for collectives to generate money. And so from that money comes the revenue that's going to the athletes.
Michael, let's not to turn you into a professor, although you would make a very good one, but for those of us less educated who don't swim in this every day, let's just act like I'm a loyal Auburn fan who wants to help out. So what do I need to do, and specifically, what do I get for this?
So the collective at Auburn is called the NIL Auburn Collective. And so if you were to go to their website and look at their they have a page for membership that is where you come in at the highest level at $1,000 a month, you come in at a mid-tier level of $500 a month, or $250 a month would get you like an entry-level membership. And so that would, depending on what level you're at, you'd be able to do things like have a virtual birthday call from one of the athletes, or you could maybe have a VIP meet and greet, or you know, different experiences, high-end experiences like that, where you're engaging with an athlete, and in some cases, I'm sure, getting to know the athlete over time through these different experiences. And obviously, the more you pay, the more experiences that you're able to access.
Now, Michael, let's say it's $12,000 a year. Now, that doesn't I'll play dumb here for a second. Not hard for me to play dumb, but I will. That doesn't have anything to do with my tickets or my ability to buy tickets or my standing in the Auburn family in terms of things like that, does it?
Correct. It does not. The fans' relationship with the athletic department is completely separate and unaffiliated with the collective. And so the athletes that are getting paid by the collective are working, in a sense, for the collective to go out and do these meet and greets and these autograph signings and other appearances in exchange for payment. That's how a lot of these athletes are getting paid now. And if you look at, think about this. If you think about there's 65 schools in the Power Five, and if they all had a collective, which they probably will by the end of this year, and say that they average about $7.5 million each year paid out to the athletes, that's a half a billion dollars of NIL money flowing through these collectives annually. And I'm told those are conservative estimates. And so you think about, you know, the power structure of an athletic department, I think there's a pretty good question to be asked about where the collective sits in the power structure of an athletic department these days.
Yeah, and I'll just keep throwing some questions up against the wall and see what fits. So you've got the average fan who's trying to go to the games. He wants to support his team. And then you got the other side of the university, Michael, and I realize this wasn't your intent today when you came on, but you got fundraising that never ends for not only the university as a whole, but for whatever school you may have gone to, whether it was communication or engineering or education. Everyone's trying to raise money, but it seems like there's only so much money to go around. Am I wrong?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Well, that is certainly a concern, Paul, that a lot of athletic administrators have in terms of being able to fundraise the way that they have in the past for coaches' salaries, for major facility developments. And are fans going to be able to afford to pay for the membership at the NIL Auburn website, or are they going to have to make a decision on, is it going to be that, or am I going to give to the school? I think what a lot of schools are seeing so far is that there does appear to be room for both. It's not an either-or thing. It's more like an and thing.
But I wonder, though, as time goes on, what's going to happen there? And I realize we are only, 8-9 months in to NIL. You mentioned this website, and somebody has to administer it, and somebody has to keep up with it. Who are these people that run these NILs, Michael?
A lot of them are former athletes. They're people who have connections with the athletic department. They're people who have a name and a reputation for being trustworthy with the athletic department, and they are creating these businesses. And so some of these businesses are nonprofits, but many of them are for-profit businesses now. And so, for some, they're ancillary to their day job. For others, this is their job. This is their living. And so, like you said, it's still an evolving type of situation where not all of them look the same. But this membership model is something that I think that bears watching, because this does give these collectives the ability to generate large sums of revenue that, you know, for the most part, they're passing through to the athletes. So that does provide a business model that would seem to be a little more sustainable than what we've seen in the past, because there have been questions about the way these collectives are run and if they will be sustainable for the long haul. And, you know, like you said, we're just 6-8 months into it, so it's hard to know right now.
Michael, I talked to a head coach recently who said year one, and again, it was a hodgepodge year because it didn't start till late. He said they cumulatively, they made a lot of money, but it really involved, I think he told me, 25 players out of 85 or 100. Are these collectives intended to broaden that number, to spread the money around significantly, or is it still very much based on the top end, the top tier player?
Well, within the collectives, you know, what the athletes have the ability to do is to opt in or opt out. You know, the athletes are not obligated to do that, but obviously there's a financial incentive for them to do that. And so one of the things that we've seen develop from that is the athletes signing their NIL rights over to the collective, and then the collective can go out and monetize those rights. They can facilitate deals, whether they're an endorsement deal or whether it's a meet and greet or an autograph signing.
So, Michael, would it be fair to say that the very best athletes are probably not going to be in these collectives?
I think it'll be a mix. I think most of the money that's going to go to that top 1% or 2% that you're talking about, I think we'll have less of an incentive because they're already probably devoting a lot of time and effort into those high-level endorsement deals. They're going to pay them, you know, in the six figures and maybe on very small occasions in the seven figures. So I think those athletes at the very highest level will have less incentive to go through the collective to be able to make their money because they're probably already paying a marketing manager, an agent, and people to do that for them.
So, Michael, just to circle this all the way back, and I realize I'm putting you through the ringer here because there's so much we don't know, but for the theoretical collective that you talked about, whether it's Auburn or somebody else, average player, maybe the backup nose guard or somebody who's not as prominent as the Will Andersons and the Bryce Youngs of the world, signs up. Is there a guess on what their range is in terms of earning opportunity?
It's in the thousands to the tens of thousands for for the type of scenario that you're talking about. I mean, it is substantial money. It absolutely is, and it's and I think that's why we're seeing these collectives increase in status and importance because they play a major role in recruiting both high school prospects and current players who might be looking to transfer. They're talking to the coaches. They're influence is growing by the day and by the deal.
And is this in terms of Power Five schools? We're talking primarily about that, but what about throughout the world of college sports? How deep does this run?
Into the, you know, certainly throughout the Power Five, there are 35 schools right now that have a collective that represent the marketing rights for athletes. Most people expect that to grow to the full extent of the Power Five by the end of the year. Outside of that, there are a handful of schools at the Group of Five level that are trying to get involved and trying to get collectives up and running so that they can, you know, play on what they feel like might be a level playing field. But those are few and far between still at the Group of Five level.
Truly remarkable stuff, considering what we're talking about in college athletics. Michael, I know you, I'm sure you shake your head as you plow through this every day. Thank you for being here. Always great to have you on.
Thanks, Paul. It's definitely an interesting space to cover because every story is something new. It's something that's never been done before. So that's made it fascinating.
Michael Smith, one of the absolute best reporters on the scene in college athletics. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back to the calls again, and Buddy is in Baton Rouge. Hello, Buddy.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, so I want to see what your thoughts were about the QB battle going on in Baton Rouge right now.
Well, I haven't heard a lot. I mean, I know the players. We're a handful of days into it. What have you picked up being down there?
It's just in my initial thoughts, man, it's Miles Brennan, you know, he's put his time in with his team. You know, he, you know, increased his body weight all the way up to be SEC quarterback, you know, and we haven't really seen him get to take the reins too much, you know. And Jaden Daniels is coming in, and he's shown, like, really good glimpses, you know, at Arizona State. So I'm excited to see how it plays out. But
I don't want this to come off negative toward Miles Brennan, because every year he seems to win the position, and then he, you know, he gets hurt.
Yeah, he gets hurt. It's so unfortunate, because you hate it for the guy, because, you know, he stuck with us, you know, had a little stint in the transfer portal, but he did come back. And, you know, you just – I feel like everybody just feels bad for the guy, you know?
I think, in terms of Jaden Daniels, I'm probably most excited just to – I mean, I remember when he showed up there, I said this, and I think some people maybe took it as a prediction, but it felt like maybe a Joe Burrow moment. And because he gives them a chance to have a difference maker, and I'll say this in all candor, I don't think Miles Brennan is ever going to elevate that program beyond what he's done, which is good, but maybe not where this program hopefully can get to again. Rick is in Georgia. Hello, Rick. You're on the air.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hey, Paul, good to speak with you. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
We're good. Paul, I don't know if you remember, but sometime back, Bobby Knight suggested that the March Madness be expanded maybe 111 teams.
Right.
And why even have a season? And right now, I think there are too many teams in it. And what I look at is you could have a team to go with a perfect season, then they lose, what, one or two games and they're out? They just have a bad couple days.
Yeah, but Rick, I hear you loud and clear, and I think Knight suggested having it like the Indiana State High School Basketball Association, where everyone has a chance right now. And I mean, look at Texas A&M. Fans were upset they didn't get in, but when the tournament started, they were out of the tournament. They made a great run. They nearly got in. And could they have handled it? North Carolina, I think, is the best example. I mean, they were dreadful during the regular season. I think they lost to Tennessee. They lost to Duke by 22 at home. They were blown out in other games. And then they turned it around that one night at Cameron Indoor. And here they are in the Final Four. St. Peter's wasn't talked about during the regular season. They win their tournament, they go on this roll. So I think what the argument against the tournament is also the argument for it, that there's nothing quite like those 2 weeks. Now, do you want 2 weeks of drama, or do you want a season that matters? And I think ultimately that's the question. The SEC this year had a phenomenal regular season, as good as the league has ever had. We're sitting here on Monday, 5 days before New Orleans, and the SEC is out of it. So what does that say? To me, this is a March-dominated sport. I agree with you. And this is the lasting impression of the season is in March. It's not what you do in November. Alabama beat Gonzaga in November. Anyone care right now? No. Nobody cares. They beat Houston, Sweet 16 and Elite 8 team. So, but it has the best postseason in sports, and quite frankly, not a particularly exciting regular season unless you're a diehard. I'm talking about the numbers that people watch the games today and this weekend are exponentially higher than they would have in November, December, and January. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it very, very much. Trey is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Trey.
How are you doing, Paul?
Hey there.
I wanted to talk to you about, I know everybody's probably all excited at the Hogs loss and stuff. I'm kind of sad about it, though.
Me too.
Ain't too sad, but anyways, I was wanting to know, what do you think of our recruiting class in both football and basketball?
Well, I hear it's phenomenal in basketball and good in football. I think football, it's the best it's been in a long time. But one thing that I will say about Sam Pittman, he proved last year he doesn't need five stars up and down the roster to win. He did it with a lot of guys that he helped develop, and I think that's the sign of a really great coach. Pete is in Augusta, Georgia.
Hello, Paul. How are you this afternoon?
Seems like a week from today we'll be talking more about Augusta, Georgia, won't we?
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to bring up. I did call a week ago, but I got sidetracked talking about my Butler Bulldogs.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of a number 12 and Tony Hinkle. But I've got two daughters that went to the University of Georgia, so I'm kind of torn. But this is an Augusta call. Who are you liking in the Masters, or is it too soon to tell?
Yeah, I must make a confession, and as somebody who has followed golf my entire life, I'm not sure I've seen a shot this year.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah.
I keep up with. I don't know why. I really don't, because I love the players. I usually try to watch some of the early events, but I don't want to blame it on Tiger and Phil not being around. But I'm going because. If Tiger was in a tournament, I would not have missed it. So I do think that now I keep hearing rumors about Tiger and Augusta. What have you heard?
Well, that he will show up for the dinner.
Right.
Champions dinner, but he's not going to be playing.
Okay,
no, he will not be playing.
Okay.
The black market price of this practice round tickets is out of sight right up the road here from me. The course is in beautiful shape. The weather's great, mid-70s. And it's going to be a springtime event. Remember last year it got delayed and they postponed it until November. Didn't look right. Did not look right.
No, I know a lot of people like the November 20 event. It was great to have it, but okay, I'm going to start watching golf again, Pete. I'm going to get. I don't know why I haven't got. You have any idea? Are you watch golf this year?
Yes.
You have. Obviously, we haven't been together. We will continue with more phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back here, and Ken is up next in West Virginia. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I've been on a couple of times before. How are you today?
I am doing well. Thank you for calling.
Well, I'm a bag man for a local school up here, and we had our bag lunch late last week, which is where the guys get together and kind of decide what the attack's going to be. And, of course, the NIL and the portal has changed things a whole bunch. But respect to the portal, what it means is the upfront money for the first signing is kind of going to disappear, because we don't want to give somebody $100,000 to go to Slippery Rock, and then he is a Slippery Rock for a day and goes into the portal. So it looks like that money is going to move past the portal. In other words, second school, so to speak. Are you there?
Yeah, no, I'm hanging on every word.
Yeah. Now, I'm sorry. Now, the NIL thing, we've kind of decided to not tie our participation into any of the situations started by the university or by the school, because there's just too many unanswered questions there, and we think gender equity is going to jump in pretty quickly. So the $300 to pay the local park traffic tickets or take the girl out for the weekend or fix the windshield, we've made a decision, and some of the other bad groups have done the same thing. We're just going to stay separate. It gives us the flexibility that we need to act quickly and the little extra. That's kind of the two main things that came out of the meeting. I don't know how that helps with it. I see so much BS on the TV.
Well, what do you see, Ken, that you find to be such so untrue or unrealistic or ridiculous?
Well, the idea of setting up a separate group to collect sponsorships and then distribute NIL money sounds pretty complicated, but how does the NIL money get distributed? In other words, is it the guy that sells the most T-shirts or number five athletes or the guy that scores a touchdown last week? Or, in other words, that's pretty ill-defined. And what we're concerned about is that the gender, you haven't heard from the gender equity folks yet. And if the guys start getting all the money, what's going to be the response from the girls' basketball team?
Yeah, I understand that, but and I don't mean to be flippant here, but what can you? It's an individual situation, so what can you offer in response to that?
Well, you know, the typical bagman has got, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 in his pocket, and if there's a situation that he has to address right now to help Junior stay in the school, that can be addressed at the local Denny's, and that's where it usually gets addressed. And we just don't see tying in with a university NIL. What are they calling them? Cooperatives or?
You've
been talking about it today,
right?
Yeah, that just sounds like another university-sponsored booster club.
It really does. Hey, thanks so much. Stay in touch, Ken. Always love to hear from a bag man on this program. We will come right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.